You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I have my man Legs here with me. You all saw that dunk from Anthony Edwards last night. Later on, he's going to break it all down for us. But back to the NFL. It's been a busy week, but let's begin with the free agency bold predictions. Booger, what do you got?
Yeah, for me, I think the best thing to happen during free agency RC was Chris Jones going back to the Kansas City Chiefs. We can talk about all the other moves with Kirk Cousins and Saquon Barkley, but here's the fact of the matter. The most dominant defensive tackle in football, now that Aaron Donald has retired, is Chris Jones, and he's going back to the Kansas City Chiefs, and that defense will be a top three defense in football.
Jeff, what do you have out of Detroit?
I love what they did with their defense this offseason. I think their improvements make them this might be a bit strong, but front runners to be in that NFC championship game. I believe that the Lions will pick off where they left off because of what they did this offseason with their defense.
All right, Tim, I need something a little bit bolder than what Jeff gave us.
See, I don't know if I'm going to give it to you. You know, I mean, the reality is, like, I'm going to say Justin Fields is the starter for Pittsburgh by week 10. I think to be really bold, say like a week five, maybe that's
say
the
week
case.
One.
But I think it eventually happens that or week one for that matter, to go real bold, which maybe isn't even that out of the realm of possibility. So I think ultimately he ends up being their starter. Why that is such a big move in free agency with the trade that just went down.
That beautiful voice you heard earlier was my friend and LSU alum, Booger McFarland. Also, that beautiful bald head you now see is my guy, Boog. Boog, is it more likely that Russ or Justin Fields is the starter in Pittsburgh at the end of the season?
I'm going to say it's Russ, man, especially if Russ is healthy. Let's understand the reason why Russ was brought to Pittsburgh is because they needed more competent quarterback play. And the reason that Justin Fields is no longer in Chicago is the same reason. They needed more competent quarterback play. So as long as both of these guys are healthy, I think Russell Wilson gives the Pittsburgh Steelers the best chance because of his ability to distribute the football and be the ultimate game manager. Like, Pittsburgh has weapons when you talk about George Pickens and what they can do with Warren and things out of the backfield. So Russell Wilson, to me, has a deciding advantage over Justin Fields, not only in week one, but throughout the season as long as he stays healthy.
See, I disagree with that. Like, I believe that Russell Wilson can do some of the things you want to do from a game manager standpoint. But it's time for Pittsburgh to move past game manager and have a young quarterback with a strong arm, a guy that can run. Shoot, Justin Fields is more old Russ than Russ is old Russ. And if you could find some synergy with Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, George Pickens on the outside, Freiermuth, Washington, I think that they could be so much more explosive with Justin Fields. So, Jeff, when you hear Booger seem so sure about Russell Wilson, it seems the Pittsburgh Steelers have already said he's the starter. Is that a mistake?
Oh, they've said it. It's only a mistake if you believe it. I don't personally believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers are absolutely sold on Russell Wilson being the starter. And Tim made a really good point last hour. They have no financial commitment to Russell Wilson that would guarantee anything other than this sort of thing where they're saying like, oh, you'll come play for us for $1.2 million? Yeah, you're totally our starter. While they're winking to everybody else in the building saying if Justin Fields comes in and balls out, that's the way it's going to go. Remember when Russell Wilson got to Seattle all those years ago? They had just signed Matt Flynn in Seattle to an $8 million deal. Guess what happened? Russ came in 30 seconds and won that job. He should know as well as anybody. When you show up to training camp, if Justin Fields does that, it's going to be his job no matter what the Steelers say right now?
All right, Tim, I think it's going to take a little bit more than 30 seconds for Justin Fields to overtake Russell Wilson. But when you think about Justin's skill set, sort of the way he finished the season in Chicago, and you look at the skill players, Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator, is Pittsburgh a place that Justin Fields can thrive and become the quarterback we thought he would be when he was drafted 11th overall by Chicago?
Yeah, absolutely. You look at Arthur Smith's history. Look, he's a former offensive lineman. He wants to run the football. He's creative with how he's running, and he has a history of running the football with the quarterback. And when you look at Justin Fields, and I felt this way about Fields when he came out of college, and nothing I've seen from him in the National Football League has changed my opinion on this. I think he is has Cam Newton-like qualities. Cam Newton was a league MVP in large part because he was a remarkable runner of the football, and that in turn helped him develop as a passer. There was a stretch where Cam was the best goal line back in the National Football League. I think in terms of the fit with the personnel that's there, some of the guys you've mentioned, and then what Arthur Smith wants to do, yeah, I think it's maybe the best spot for Justin Fields to go. So, the lack of financial commitment, and I would just say this too, Russ could be in a situation where he's playing okay, and Mike Tomlin may not be like, hey man, I need to bench this guy. But look at the division, fellas. Like, the division is brutal. There's no easy out in the division. So even if you have a quarterback that's playing okay or above average, if you're not winning, there is going to be pressure to change at that position when you have a super talented young player waiting in the wings.
Booger, you chuckled at that. When I'm listening to Tim, what I'm hearing is, if Russell Wilson isn't knocking it out of the park facing the Deshauns and the Lamars and the Joe Burrows, that there could be a quarterback controversy. And you heard some of the Cam Newton comparisons. Why is that so funny to you? And is a quarterback controversy inevitable in Pittsburgh?
Well, a quarterback controversy might be inevitable. Here's why it's funny to me, because we're talking about these two guys as if they can or are going to be the answer. Let's understand the facts. The facts are that both of their last stops did not want them. Okay, if you look at Denver with Russell Wilson, if you look at Chicago with Justin Fields. So now, we have the lesser of two evils in Pittsburgh. Which one of these guys can give Pittsburgh the best opportunity to be successful? And I think if you look at their track record, we all would have to be honest and say that Russell Wilson is a better quarterback than Justin Fields. Now, sure, Justin Fields has upside. No. Justin Fields is younger. And if they're even, you play the younger guy. I get all of those things. But at the end of the day, it's about winning football games. And I know Justin Fields is more athletic, but that position of quarterback at the end of the day is about distributing the football to your playmakers. And if either one of these guys had did it at a high level, they both would be at their previous organization. So if I got to choose between one of these two guys, I'm going to go with the guy that I know the most about, the guy that I've seen it before, and that's Russell Wilson over Justin Fields.
I'm going to tell you what, bro. Like, this conversation is giving us more emotions than like a romantic comedy. Booger's laughing and smiling and having a good time, and Jeff is about to pull his TVU out and not be a part of this anymore. Jeff, what upsets you about what Booger said?
No, it's not that it's upsetting, but you know, like, I just think about Justin Fields and what Russell Wilson didn't do the last 2 years, and I'm not like even the biggest Justin Fields guy. I understand it. The reason, though, to me, why the Bears are getting rid of Justin Fields isn't because they necessarily just don't want him. It's that they can literally very clearly upgrade in their minds with Caleb Williams with that number one pick. Suddenly, when I'm hearing about Arthur Smith from Tim talking about that, it harkens me back to when Ryan Tannehill was cast off the Dolphins and ultimately landed in Tennessee and was the comeback player of the year because of what Arthur Smith did with him because of his legs. The more I hear this, the more I feel like Justin Fields is setting himself up to be the starter of this team sooner than later.
We keep talking about the fact that both of these quarterbacks were sent off from their last stops. Baker Mayfield was sent off from like three stops in the last year or two, and he found a way to be a playoff winning quarterback in Tampa Bay. So why can't Russell Wilson do that? Why can't Justin Fields do that? Tim, looking at these two quarterbacks? Does either of them, if they play to their potential, make the Pittsburgh Steelers a contender not only to win the NFC North, but to finally win some games in the playoffs, which has eluded Mike Tomlin the last few years?
Yeah. Well, let me just say this first, RC. If the Bears were picking 15th or picking 12th,
they
wouldn't be moving on from Justin Fields. The only reason it's a conversation to reset the quarterback contract is because they're drafting at the very beginning. So it's not like I really don't believe that Chicago looks at it and says, we don't think Justin Fields can play. So to help use that context to answer your question about Pittsburgh, yeah, I think either guy is capable to help Pittsburgh win a playoff game. I think both players are better than Kenny Pickett. And I think that Mike Tomlin has proved that he is a remarkable Agreed. Coach that is always going to have his team in it. And so if you have your team in it and you upgrade the quarterback position and the quarterback play has been bad in Pittsburgh, then yeah, either one of these guys can do it. I just think by the time we get there, we're going to have turned the page on the Russell Wilson era in Pittsburgh and be in the Justin Fields era in Pittsburgh.
Boog, I know you keep saying that Russell Wilson should be the starter the entire season, but if you're Omar Khan and you're Mike Tomlin, shouldn't you want Justin Fields to win this quarterback competition? Shouldn't you want Justin Fields to play well? Because he's the guy that could go forward to be your franchise quarterback.
Absolutely, RC. You would love for Justin Fields to come in there and wow you from day one of training camp and be the starter, pick up the option, extend him, and move forward. But that's in a perfect world. But I just don't know if I've seen enough from Justin Fields for him to come in there and say, you know what? I'm going to see enough. I have confidence in this young man and what I've seen for him to move forward being the starting quarterback. I hope it plays out that way because it would be great for Justin Fields to fulfill his potential. I just need to see it before I can believe it.
Well, I'm sure this is something we'll talk about all offseason and we'll get to in training camp. Needless to say, the quarterback room now of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields is much more talented and in a better position than it was with Kenny Pickett, Mitchell Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph. So if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, there is that to be excited about. But Legs has been trying to get his touchscreen to work. I think it's working, but now we've talked about football for too long. So here is the wake-up call. And the wake-up call is Anthony Edwards' dunk. Let's take a listen.
Warren did not score and only had one shot attempt in that first half. Another turnover for Utah. Edwards gets it back and threw it down. And one from the rafters.
All right, Legs,
yeah.
We saw it happen in real time,
yeah.
But I'm always with Dan Orlovsky on the touchscreen, so I'm excited to get a Legs touchscreen as well. Tell us what happened on this play.
Well, something like this, really what you're breaking down is just the thought process involved here with some of these people, right? So let's start off with this. Anthony Edwards is going to throw this ball ahead, and right about here, look at John Collins. At John Collins, he's looking here at the corner. That's fine, but the apex predator is coming here. Okay, he's looking in the wrong place at the wrong time, and by the time he turns around, right about here, Brian, you know what he's saying? He's thinking to himself,
I know I done messed up, didn't I?
He's saying, should I? Do I have time to go up? Now, remember, John Collins, by the way, has crazy bounce, but his hands are down. And that is not a good indication. He's in a relaxed state. You know why? Because you're not used to people coming at you with this level of rage. That's just straight rage. There's no other way to describe it. He even hurts his offhand on a dunk with his right. But I want to go back and take a look at this. If you're John Collins and you really have a problem with one of your teammates, it's Keontae George here. You know why? Because he easily could have just right here. He could have stopped this whole thing by just bumping Anthony Edwards a little bit right there in the backcourt. But instead, watch what he does. He waves at it. And now Anthony Edwards has a full run. And again, take a look here. He's looking here. Anthony Edwards is looking straight at him. He's looking at the rim. And this is the last part right here. He's going to go take off. I want you to watch the reaction when it's all said and done. Oh, my goodness. Look at Colin. Look at him right there. He can't even believe what he saw.
Legs. Also, too, though, John Collins got to make a business decision. In that situation, you act like you thought you were going to stop the pass over here, and you just allow Anthony Edwards to dunk it.
He also had 1 foot in the restricted area. There's a reason that's restricted.
You can't
because you get dumped
because
on there.
You can't be that deep. That's why they put that arc in there in the first place, because you can't be that deep and think about jumping. Here's what happened to John Collins with this. He's got so much up, he thought he could make a last second play on it.
He thought he'd get the vertical and get the block.
And as soon as he jumped, he ducked his head because he knew, like, oh, this could be bad. And it turns out it was worse. Thank goodness. He's okay. Hopefully he's okay. But, man, that's going to live on for a long time, that clip.
Well, I tell you who can use someone as athletic as Anthony Edwards. It's the Dallas Cowboys. They're coming up. The D in Big D stands for disappointment. Have the Cowboys mishandled Dak's contract? And where do they possibly go from here? Plus, could the Sixers be getting their superstar back soon? And is it enough to put pressure on the Celtics in the East? Legs is here with the answer.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Get Up, and we're going to get into what's your number. Jeff, how many rushing yards will Derrick Henry have in his first season with the Ravens?
Ryan, I'm going to say 1,100. He's essentially going to pick off where he left off last year with the Titans. But, you know, this is a different situation because of Lamar Jackson and his legs. He won't probably be looked at to carry the load quite as much as he did with the Titans. That said, I think 1,100 yards would be a very nice season for Derrick Henry in Baltimore.
Okay, Tim, the Eagles added a big name at running back in Saquon Barkley. How many rushing touchdowns will he have?
I'm going with 8. Now, I think his total number is going to be way higher than that. There's part of me that wanted to make the rushing number higher, but I do think that, you know, with the way Philly's run game works, quarterback run ends up being a part of it with so many read plays. And so Jalen Hurts will factor in there. Then I think you also look at their receivers. They have receivers that score touchdowns as well. And so that could impact his goal line carries. But I don't think that we can understate the impact that he will have on the offense and how many times, quite honestly, he's going to end up helping them score touchdowns.
Okay, Boog, let's stay in Philly. The Philadelphia Eagles add another first-round quarterback in Kenny Pickett. How many starts will he have this season for the Eagles?
Hopefully for the Eagles, I'm going to say 0 unless something goes wrong with Jalen Hurts' health. Listen, Jalen proved last year that he's tough, man. He'll play through injury. I know he wasn't 100% healthy last year with the knee. But if Kenny Pickett, to me, if he was the answer, then he would still be in Pittsburgh. So hopefully for the Eagle fans, man, that Kenny Pickett has 0 starts.
Yeah, if you're an Eagles fan, you want to see Jalen Hurts out there on the field, and you want to see the Jalen Hurts that finished second in MVP voting just a couple years ago. Yesterday, Pickett was introduced as an Eagle, and he had this to say about his exit from Pittsburgh.
I'm confident in the way that I handled it. I handled it the way I should have handled it. It worked out so well that Philly was the place I ended up landing in. So I think everything happens for a reason, and, you know, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. You know, it just felt like it was time from, you know, the things that transpired and You know, wanted to get a chance to go somewhere else and continue to grow my career. And
Tim, I really couldn't understand what Pickett was saying he handled correctly. What are some of your thoughts about what Kenny Pickett said yesterday?
Yeah, it was a confusing answer for sure, Ryan. I my guess is that when he's referring to how he's handled things is, I think we all know, the way things went in Pittsburgh offensively were kind of a disaster in his time as the starting quarterback. Now, some of that was probably on him. Some of it was on, you know, maybe the play caller, maybe other guys on the offense. And when you're the quarterback, sometimes you have to take the blame for things that maybe, you know, weren't your fault. I'm guessing that that is what he's referring to. Seems like a weird place to bring that up. And I think that, you know, his, I guess, the sounding of pleasure to be where he is now in his career in Philadelphia, I'm guessing that that is referring to yeah. where he grew up and went to high school and feeling like he's back home. But, yeah, it was, I think it was a confusing answer to listen to.
Okay, Boogie, explain this to me. You're in a place where a Russell Wilson is on a one-year contract for $1.2 million, and you're happier to be in Philadelphia with a quarterback that's firmly entrenched in the franchise? I mean, pull out the Urban Dictionary and translate this for me.
Well, I don't know if he's happy to be in Philadelphia. I think he's happy to be away from Pittsburgh, because let's understand this. The Matt Canada experiment in Pittsburgh didn't work. We kind of knew it wasn't going to work. Even if you go back to LSU, RC, like Matt Canada and all the motions, like, give me a break on that. But for Kenny Pickett, here's a guy who was drafted in the first round, and I don't think he felt like he was ever supported enough from the standpoint of being the starting quarterback all the way around. Then you bring a guy in to, quote unquote, compete with him, and they named that guy. Basically, he's going to get the first deal as far as being the starter in Russell Wilson. So Kenny says, okay, so you draft me in the first round. You don't give me an offensive coordinator to support me. Then you tell me before the offseason starts that I'm going to have competition. And oh, by the way, now, not only am I going to have competition, the guy that you're bringing in to compete is going to get first dib. So you know what? Everything, every way that you guys have handled the situation has been wrong for me, so I want out. And I can understand from that standpoint why Kenny Pickett would want out.
I don't understand it. Like, I truly do not understand it. I do not understand in this new world we live in where competition is bad. So you're telling me I'm going to have an opportunity to compete. He might get the first reps, but I'm going to get an opportunity to show why you drafted me 20th overall and maybe get to play. Nah, I don't want that. You know what? Trade me and send me back home to the Jersey Shore or to Philadelphia, wherever I feel comfortable to ride the pine behind Jalen Hurts. Jeff, please make this make sense to me.
Yeah, I just don't necessarily. I'm kind of giving him a little leeway here. Like, he basically just got broken up with, and now he's got to act like he's happy with the new girl. I just don't put that much on him for these comments. He's just got to say what he's got to say at this point to make it seem like he's happy. But this is the place, Pittsburgh was the place where he went to college. This was supposed to be that storybook situation for him. Come in there, take over in the building next door to where he was drafted. I just think that ultimately Kenny Pickett's got to look at this and say, I'm trying to make the most of it, but absolutely no way is this possibly a better situation than he
Jeff,
was in.
Jeff, you don't watch enough reality TV. He did not get broken up with. They were scouting a new sister wife. And they were trying to figure out if she was going to be
That's
the first wife or the second wife. But he was still going to have an opportunity to be married to. Now he just sitting home
to compete
as the side
for that
chick.
Job, huh?
Yeah, you can't compete for that job, man. You know what? Listen, guys. Coming up, we've been
pride.
Showing it to you guys all morning. It is Ant-Man's dunk of the year. But was it even his best play of the season? We debate coming up next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by Applebee's.
Time for a little eye candy, and it is so sweet. And for that, we head back to Utah for this monster poster dunk by Anthony Edwards over John Collins. I mean, we've seen this a lot of times, guys, and it keeps getting better to me, Lakes.
It's one of those things where a couple times a year, right, I'm watching games every single night and maybe twice a year where I'm going to yell out when I see something happen, and this is one of those moments for sure.
Book, early on, we talked about this play and compared it to Anthony Edwards' game-winning block versus the Pacers. Which play was the better for Anthony Edwards?
For me, I'm going to go with the game-winning block, guys, because when I think about a dunk, I don't want you to just get your head over the rim. I want you to pull the rim down. Like, is it really a dunk if the rim doesn't move? To me, when you get up, like, his neck is over the rim on that block. So I'm going to take the block over the dunk because in the dunk, to me, he didn't touch the rim and pull the rim down hard enough.
All right, Tim, you said earlier the fact that he was high enough to get fouled, dislocate a finger, and throw it in the rim was enough for you. So are you going dunk or block here?
Well, a couple of things. I'm going dunk, and I'm going to refute what Book said here. Just like if I were to dunk a basketball and not touch the rim, I'm still counting it as a dunk. Now, maybe that says more about my athletic ability than anything else, but like
it
this
does.
Is absurd. He's so high, he literally just like throws it down like I'm throwing a piece of paper into the trash. Like that's how he throws. Like he, like his right foot is nearly on the foul line when he takes off. Like I'm not sure, like did he even know where he was? Like that to me is absurd. The athleticism is crazy.
Hey, but Legs, also, yes. This started with Blake Griffin years ago.
Yes.
You remember the foul, he throws it into the rim. Is this enough for you to count it as a dunk?
Absolutely is. And that's exactly what I thought it was Blake Griffin, because two of his best dunks ever were similar.
Yeah.
Right, where he's sort of throwing it in, his fingertip is just getting to the rim. But if you want to know if this is a dunk or not, I think you probably should ask John Collins what he thinks. He's probably going to say, yeah, it felt like a dunk to me, for sure. But I'm also going to go with the block in terms of more important, because the dunk is expected now of Anthony Edwards. Like that block, that was something that was almost like an out-of-body experience to go make a play like that to save a game. Mm-hmm. And I think it just enhances his reputation.
And also, we don't go back to all of LeBron's dunks in that Cleveland Cavaliers series where they beat the Warriors. But we constantly talk about his block of Andre Iguodala.
Right.
And that was the play that saved the series. Now, we'll get to some more NBA. We're going to play a game of Legler for three. We want to get your take on three topics. Which team is more likely to miss the playoffs, the Warriors or the Lakers?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to say the Warriors. I just don't think the consistency is there. I just don't think they have enough consistent support every night around Steph Curry. I also think they're small. And when it comes down to those one possession games, 3-4 minutes to go, you've got to have some size to get stops and size to secure the defensive rebound. I just think that's a weakness for Golden State. So unfortunately, I don't see them making it out of the play-in.
Legs, real men wear makeup. And when you were getting your makeup before the show, you talked about Jalen Brunson. Yeah. Is he enough to carry the Knicks to the conference finals?
He is enough. These are two separate questions, though. Is he enough, and are the Knicks enough? Mm-hmm. I think right now, as banged up as the Knicks are, without Julius Randle, and we just haven't heard anything about him. It's a mystery if we're going to see Julius Randle at all. Without Julius Randle, I think it's going to be difficult for the Knicks, but Jalen Brunson is that guy. He is good enough to control a game, to control a series, to give the Knicks a legitimate shot. They just need to be fully healthy.
What does Joel Embiid's return mean for the 76ers?
You talk about X factors. We talk about that all the time. Could there ever be a bigger X factor than Joel Embiid returning to the Philadelphia 76ers with a handful of games to go before you start the Eastern Conference playoffs? Because right now there's question marks about every single team besides Boston. What that means, Philadelphia is going to be in that mix. Because here's the one thing he's going to have. Fresh legs.
Yeah.
Now, he's going to be coming back with a minutes restriction. His stamina probably won't be great, but he is going to feel really energized. And that is a problem for everybody in the East. So, yes, throw their name in the ring. As long as all these teams can avoid Boston in the first two rounds, they've got a legitimate shot to get to the conference finals. There's four or five teams in that category.
Now, listen, I know he hasn't played enough games this year to be the MVP, but you're going to get MVP caliber play from Joel Embiid. You mentioned avoiding Boston. Why would that series be so difficult for the Sixers?
I think right now Boston's just on a different level. They're a buzzsaw offensively. With what they do, with the number of guys on that team that shoot the three at a high level, and then they've got two breakdown players, huge isolation, you know, winners in Jaylen Brown and Tatum. And I think for Boston particularly, Jaylen Brown is playing the best basketball of his career. I think you get in your prime from 25 to 31 as an NBA player. He's 27 years old, and it is all coming together right now for Jaylen Brown. And I think it's the most comfortable Jason Tatum has been because of that going into a playoff run. It's Boston and everybody else. If you ask me, Boston or the field in the East, I'm taking Boston. That's how good they've been this year.
Joe Mazzulla seems to still have to prove that he could be the sort of coach to help this team win a championship. And also seeing that duo of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum win is things that the people on the outside are waiting to see. Yep. They go heavy iso ball, especially late in games. When you think about them in seven-game series against some of the best in the NBA, does that duo have enough to win it?
You brought up they have two vulnerabilities. One is that they slow the game down too much, I believe, in the fourth quarter, and they fall into some of those patterns. The other thing is, as elite as this team is at shooting the three, and they take more than any team in the league, they shoot an outrageous percentage, they end games basically by what they do to you at the three-point line. They sometimes can hunt that shot, I think, too often, too early in the clock. If you don't force defenses to play them at their best when they're putting 2 feet in the paint and getting teams to react and then kicking out and taking a more unbalanced open three. So when they hunt that shot early, I think they're doing defenses a favor. So those are the two things. If you want to nitpick a team that's had an incredible year, those would be the two ways. I think Mazzulla's come a long way with his late game management. I have a lot more faith in him, I think, this year than I did a year ago, because it was just handed to him before the season.
Yeah.
This is different now. I think he's more comfortable in his own skin in those situations as well.
All right, from 5U AAU basketball to Legends Over 40 intramural, you are a hoops junkie.
Yes.
So I'm going to take you to college. All right. I want you to give me your final four in the men's tournament.
I'm going chalk number ones. And I know that doesn't happen, right? It's been, what, 16, 18 years, whatever. I got, Hembo gave me that number earlier. It just doesn't happen. So one of these teams or more are going to lose. But here's the thing. When I look at the brackets and I look at the teams that are the 2 seed, the 3 seed, I just don't love any of those teams enough to think that they're going to upset these teams. And at the end of the day, I think Houston is the team, Ryan, for me. I think 13 out of the last 16 wins are holding teams in the 60s. That's just not even modern basketball to do that.
But legs, also, too, though, you're looking at three of those number one seeds that don't win their tournament.
True, correct.
Right? So you still feel that those teams can correct those things and come out of those brackets.
I do, and I'm banking on Houston's defense. Look, that loss that they had, and it was an embarrassing loss, and it was unexpected. I actually think that can help a team like that had won so many games over the previous 2 months. They didn't know what losing felt like. Well, now they do. And they've got four seniors in their top five players, right? That is a team that has a ton of experience. They got a little taste of what that feels like. If they don't come out with the right mindset, I think now their team is going to lock into you. I really feel good about Houston. But, look, I know a lot of people think UConn's going to repeat.
Yeah, UConn is one of those teams that's steady. They do everything right. And they have the experience of having been there before just last year. All right, so now y'all already know what Legs' bracket looks like. Let's talk about yours. ESPN Tournament Challenge men's and women's brackets are open. So download the app to get started. Then create a group, invite your friends, and get ready for the madness. With the number one bracket game, the men's game closes Thursday at noon Eastern and the women's game Friday morning at 11:30 Eastern. Now here's Jay Billis with some insight for your bracket.
Want to fill out your men's tournament challenge bracket like an expert? First off, don't pick massive upsets early. Only two 16 seeds have ever beaten a one seed. If you like upsets, and who doesn't, look to the second round, where an 8 or 9 seed has beaten a 1 seed in 10 of the last 13 tournaments. And while we're talking upsets, you have to love the number 11. At least one 11 seed has reached the Sweet 16 in 10 of the last 13 tournaments. And in fact, 5 times during that stretch, two 11 seeds got that far. 12 seeds used to be the trendy go-to, but since 2014, only two 12 seeds have advanced to the Sweet 16. And when picking a champion, prioritize the ones. In 39 of the last 42 tournaments, a one seed has made the Final Four, and 12 of the last 16 champions have been one seeds. So to recap, if you're gonna pick a surprise to win a couple of games, go with 11s, not 12s. Look out for the 8 and 9 seeds in the second round, and a 1 seed is usually a safe bet to win it all. You got it? Great. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app and fill out your men's brackets now.
I mean, Jay Billis played for Duke, so you have to listen to him. Let's look at all the brackets that are already being created with ESPN Tournament Challenge. Download the Tournament Challenge app and use all the great tools to help you fill out your men's and women's bracket today. All right, back to the NFL and sneaky big news in Dallas. The Cowboys are slightly reducing quarterback Dak Prescott's massive $59 million salary cap hit by reworking his contract. Cowboys created $4 million in salary cap space in the 2024 with the reworked deal. Tim, how have the Dallas Cowboys mishandled Dak's contract extension?
This goes back years, Ryan. You know, when everybody knew that Dak Prescott could play, he was making like $800,000 a year to be the starting quarterback for the most popular franchise in the United States. Look, they were trying to kind of use it against him, try to get him to sign an under-market deal, and Dak bet on himself, and he continued to do that. And so when that happened, he basically made himself more money, and he put the Cowboys in a situation where eventually his cap number was going to be so high that he was going to have, you know, he was basically going to win the game of chicken with Jerry Jones. We're at that point now, And so that's how they've mishandled it. This is a bed that they made years ago that they're sleeping in now.
Boog, you know whose contracts don't get mishandled? Guys like Joe Burrow, guys like Patrick Mahomes, guys like Josh Allen. What does this say about the belief or non-belief that the Dallas Cowboys have in Dak Prescott that we're here once again in his career?
Well, RC, I don't know if it says anything about the belief, because I think if you look at the last contract they gave him was 4 years, $160 million that they paid him. They just took their own time. And I think the timing of this is everything. We're all up in arms because Dallas hasn't redone the contract yet, because Dallas hasn't made major splashes in free agency yet, especially at their running back position. I think at the end of the offseason, if they've redone Dak Prescott's contract, they've drafted a running back, they've gotten a big defensive tackle in the draft, we're going to look back on this offseason and say, okay, the Cowboys handled their business. They just did it on their own time, just like they did in the last contract extension. So I think they believe in him, but at the end of the day, we know that Jerry and Stephen Jones are businessmen, and the Dallas Cowboys is their business. And so they're going to do business the way that they see fit. I think they still have belief in him. They've paid him. They just adjusted. Hey, right now, his cap number is $55 million. That says a lot of belief to me. They're just doing their business on their own time.
Jeff, in doing their business on their own time. How much are they holding this team back from getting better and having an actual opportunity to win a championship?
Yeah, I don't think this has anything to do with belief in Dak Prescott. If he had won the Super Bowl for the Cowboys, they would be in the exact same situation. They handed all the leverage over to Dak by giving him a $59 million cap hit for this coming season. This whole contract reworking that they just did, that's throwing a lawn chair off the Titanic. That gives them $5 extra million to sign guys that are just kind of bottom of the roster guys. This is far bigger than that. It's not just about whether they believe in Dak. It's the fact that they put themselves in a situation where they gave the quarterback every bit of the leverage.
Well, I'll tell you what, Leonardo DiCaprio probably wish he had a lawn chair and not that headboard, and he was over there shivering, and the old girl wouldn't switch places with him, and my boy was frozen the next morning. But coming up, is Caleb Williams the best quarterback in this year's draft class? One person here makes a case for another top prospect. But before we get there, we have a little sneaky himbo time for legs. Which men's program owns the record for NCAA tournament appearances?
Coming for you, himbo. Coming for you. Treat you like Anthony Edwards.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by Applebee's.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, guys, it is sneaky himbo time. And he's facing a guy who's the only person in get-up history to miss an answer that was actually himself. Okay, so here we go. Which men's program owns the record for NCAA tournament appearances?
By the way, I only missed that question because I'm humble. You know, I humility.
You didn't want to say it was
no, who wants to talk about themselves? Listen, at least I think himbo's taking it easy on me because I think you can clearly narrow it down to a handful of schools. Mm-hmm. You got the Blue Bloods, right? The Mount Rushmores, right? That's what you're talking about with college basketball. And of all those schools, Carolina, Kansas, Duke, Indiana, Kentucky. Mm. I'm going to go with Kentucky as my final answer.
That was too easy, himbo.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh,
are you taking it? Are you taking it easy on him?
He took it easy on me.
It's all the blue teams.
Gave me a 20% chance because I have five schools in my head.
Yeah, that was too easy. You know what? Every now and then.
I owed him. I needed one, man.
Every now and then, the Twins keep himbo up, and he is not ready for sneaky himbo time. But let's get back to the release of the day, which is Mel Kiper's latest mock draft live on ESPN.com. The biggest change was Bo Nix now being selected 12th overall by the Broncos. That makes it five quarterbacks that go within the first 12 picks. That would tie the 1999 draft for the quickest five quarterbacks went off the board. Now, when you look at this board, Mel Kiper still has Caleb Williams going number one overall to the Chicago Bears. Boog, you weren't here for the first hour, and you missed this conversation. Do you believe that Caleb Williams is the best quarterback in this draft?
Well, I think based on some of the plays that he can make off platform, Ryan, I think if I were to look at Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, I think they're 1 and 1A, both of them. But when you look at what Caleb Williams can do, some of the off platform plays, some of the improvisational plays in the pocket, some of those schoolyard, backyard plays, those are the things you can't teach. And it's too much upside right there for a team like Chicago to pass on. Now, Jaden Daniels, to me, as far as a guy that's gotten better over the last 2 years, a guy whose tape is the best, there's no question. Jaden Daniels has the best tape of any quarterback in this draft, and he deserves to be number one. I just think the upside of the playground-type plays is what Chicago is going to bank on.
Mel, you have Caleb number one. Is that more so about what you've seen from him on film, or just hearing and talking to these different scouts and executives that Caleb has shown enough to be in that spot?
Ryan, I'd like to get off a quarterback when you rave about him as in 2022 and say he's spectacular, he's Mahomes-like, and all of a sudden because a couple games didn't go his way when the offensive line this year at USC was horrific, okay, bad offensive line. Andrew Voorhees, a key guy, was drafted by the Ravens. He could be a starting guard this year after redshirting medically with the injury last year. So you think about where we are right now with Caleb, he's the master creator, okay? And I think when you look at him, what he could do, as Book said, off-platform, when nothing's there, he creates something. So, and Jaden Daniels does the exact same thing. That's why they're going 1-2. But for people to say, well, you know, Caleb struggled and Jaden did. Caleb in 2022 was unbelievable. And up until the Notre Dame game, he was the same way this year, despite the offensive line being bad and not having his number one receiver, Jordan Addison.
Well, guys, I'm trying to do a segment. I just want to host the show. And there's this guy that walks in dressed as Grimace from McDonald's. And here he is. He grabs the microphone. He knew it was a big release day. Kuiper 3.0.
That's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. What's up, Lance? What up, baby? How you doing?
What's up, baby boy?
I just here because I'm sitting there. I'm watching my man hosting and all of this stuff. I'm like, okay. And the fly outfit. I don't know that that's a hosting outfit.
This is a
It looks good.
Why can't it be a hosting outfit?
It looks good. I know you're trying to add a different flavor, but still in all, there's a standard, and you know you're looking good, though. You're looking good.
Well, you know what? You started getting purples and all these different colors because been putting so much pressure on you on your own show.
I will give you that much. You've been putting the pressure, but it ain't about the pressure legs.
That's right.
It's about how you respond to the pressure. Good luck, baby.
Well, you know what?
He just walks around the hallways with his own microphone, man. That's right. How he walks around.
Well, every room he walks into,
exactly.
Every room he walks in, they just hand him one anyway.
That's it.
This is what we do.
See y'all later.
My man.
All
right.
See you.
Skinny Stephen A. will be up at 10 o'clock. My man that lost like 35 pounds, he got slim. All right, Mel, when you think about your mock draft and you're looking at having five quarterbacks go in the top 12, what makes Bo Nix that last quarterback for you at 12?
Sean Payton, you think about the division, the conference, and not having a second-round pick. And Bo Nix, I think he will see Drew Brees in Bo Nix. Drew Brees didn't have the howitzer for an arm. Neither does Bo Nix. Drew Brees, accurate, right? Classy kid, professional, 24 years of age, Bo Nix. You think about what we have with Bo Nix in terms of his legs. He had, 20 rushing touchdowns over the last 2 years, 77% completion percentage. Drew Brees, same hand size as well. Remember, Drew Brees, 6'5", but a big hand. Drew Brees, Bo Nix. I think Sean Payton will say, let's get that guy.
Mel, real quick, his legs here, man. I got to ask you, you know, the spring is the most exciting time of the year for Commanders fans because it's the draft. That's all we got. I want Drake May, but it sounds like it's going to be Jaden Daniels. Can you please make the argument why it should be Drake May? Can you make that for me?
I cannot make the legs over Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, when you draw comparisons to Lamar Jackson and Randall Cunningham, that's all you need to know.
Hey, see, he went to LSU, though, legs. He's an LSU guy. LSU guys do great in Washington. You should want Jaden Daniels, but Drake May wouldn't be a bad pick either. Listen, if First Take is next, you've already seen Stephen A. You know he hijacks all the other shows, and he's always great on his show. Is Anthony Edwards the next face of the NBA? Is it too early to say that the Warriors season is over? Molly, Stephen A., Shannon, JJ.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Brackets are just better with friends, family, and the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. It's easier than ever to create groups for your brackets and invite everyone to play along. You can battle for bracket supremacy in a group with coworkers, other fans, and even ESPN personalities. Then, track your bracket standings in real time throughout the men's and women's tournaments. Whether you're a basketball super fan or just want to be part of the fun, now's the time to get started. Download and fill out your brackets now with the ESPN Tournament Challenge app.
Well, guys, that is it. It is my first day hosting of the week. My dog, Leg, is in the studio with me the whole day. We got the touchscreen working at some point. Anthony Edwards had a great dunk, which is very similar to the way Legs dunked on Himbo. And up next, we have Shannon, JJ, Stephen A., and Molly on First Take. See y'all tomorrow.